Welcome to the Ankler Podcast. This is Sean McNulty from the Wake Up Newsletter here at the Ankler on the afternoon of Thursday, January 11th here in New York City. I'm joined by Mr. Royal Crown Cola himself, Richard Rushfield. Richard, are they on board as a pod sponsor yet? What's going on?
They have not come aboard, but I have learned about the RC Cola fan element in our society since we published a piece claiming that Jay Penske had turned the Golden Globes into the new Royal Crown Cola. I've received many howls of protest from the fan community defending the honor of RC Cola and claiming it is the superior of colas out there right now.
Did these people also watch the Golden Globes? Could they quantify the quality issue? That maybe that would be part of the discussion.
They don't necessarily say, and that means the Golden Globes are great too, but it's implied.
Just the general disparagement they're taking issue with. Okay, very good. And Elaine Lowe is also back with us, who's now the Ankler's official in-house Mission Impossible expert. Elaine, do I have that correctly?
You know, a month ago, I hadn't seen a single Mission Impossible film, and now I am up to date. I've seen all seven.
Wow, in one month's time.
I've become an MI evangelist, John.
Yes. I mean, was this in honor of Tom Cruise moving to Warner Brothers this week? Were you preparing for the big moment? Was this...
yes. I had insider info and that's what I did with it, Sean.
I better watch all these movies so I'm up to speed on this. Yeah, exactly. Wow. So just to remind you, briefly remember, the first one was which one now did you watch first? Did you watch the first one was first?
Oh, yeah. I watched them all in order.
Oh, in order. Oh, you're a completist. Oh, you really?
I had to be a completist.
All right. Well, which one was which one's the best? Now, we need to handicap this a little bit.
Six.
Six?
Yes. The one prior to the one that just came out this past summer, Dead Reckoning, was excellent. And I'll tell you, the only reason I even started watching any of these MI films is because of Hayley Atwell, because I'm a huge Agent Carter fan. So don't tell me that you can't get, that talent can't bring in a new viewer. Because
stunt casting.
That's the backdoor way I came into this franchise.
Love it. All right. Whatever gets you in the door. Well, now the casting for part eight is certainly very, very, very important now. So, all right. Very good. I'm impressed. So congratulations. You saw how many films in all of last year and you saw seven in a month? Okay.
Listen, Paramount Plus got a lot of viewership from me this past month.
Exactly. Chicago's very cold over the winter break. So right. A lot of time in your hands. Anyway, congratulations over at Warner's. Yeah, we'll touch on this later, but yes, Mr. Cruise is setting up shop there and they're definitely hitting the green light on the big star power. We'll dive into that. The layoff epidemic finally hit the tech streamers this week. Richard is also 80% through his trip into Wake Up lifestyle of doing a daily column. Richard, how are you holding up?
It's been a good week. Looking forward to doing my series of the 2024 tip sheets. Looking forward to the big events to come. Will this be the best year of Hollywood or the last year of Hollywood? Could go either way.
If you're writing it, Richard, that really is 50-50, I think. Yeah, I guess that's a legitimate question. So I hope you've been enjoying those over at theankler.com and in your inbox this week. Richard, I'm sure you're looking forward to going back to just one or two columns next week. We'll probably be where you're at as well.
All right. Well, next week I'll be reporting live from Sundance. So
That's right. Oh, Sundance is next week. Okay.
The fun continues.
The fun continues. Richard on the road. All right. And we're also going to get into some defining questions of 2024 that Richard brought up in one of his pieces this week, as well as some questions and thoughts for optimism, I think, eventually in 2024. But Richard, first up, our 2024 prognosticating did not get off to a good start. The Golden Globes showed everybody and got 9.4 million viewers on CBS on Sunday. That's about 4 million more than you predicted and almost twice as many as I did. Elaine had the week off last week, so she gets a pass.
So thankfully. I win by default.
Yeah, exactly. Yet again, Elaine, yes, you win. Okay, fine. Jeez.
Sean, you were the closest without going over, so...
No, you had five. No, actually, no, Peter had the highest one. Peter was in last week, so he had
the highest. So by Price is Right rules, Peter wins.
Peter won by Price is Right rules. Yes, exactly.
So he gets a table at the next ceremony then.
He gets a free ticket to the next year's show. Yes, exactly right. The Jay Penske promise. But that 9.4 million, of course, is only about half of what the show did pre-COVID. So a victory, but some perspective. And it did have a nice little 10.6 million viewer NFL post-game show lead-in. So a little bit of a nice bump there. Thank you. Thank you to CBS for that. And just by the way, 98 of the top 100 biggest TV audiences on linear TV last year were football games. So Elaine, you know what time it is, right?
Oh, God. Is it NFL quiz time?
It's pop quiz time. What were the other two shows on the list, Elaine, on the top 100 of last year?
that were not sports related.
They were not football. They were either pro or college football games. Were 98 of the top 100. So there were two other slots held by non-sporting events. So I'll even give you that much.
The Voice and American Idol.
Got to think a little bigger. Got to go events, Elaine. Events.
Oh, events. Events.
I'm giving you a hint there. All right.
Events.
So what does the Hello Larry Festival on TV Land count as an event?
Sorry, Richard, this is 2023. This is, again, we're not in 1963.
They reran the whole run of the series.
I think that was just at your house, Richard. I think that was at your house. I don't think that was a national TV event.
That didn't make top 100?
I don't think so.
Astounding.
And the Richard Rushfield Nielsen list, yes. But all right, Elaine, what do you got?
Can't be awards shows because those don't glean anything anymore, right? Right, Sean? No, come on, give me something here. Why are you always going to put me on the spot?
Well, all right, we'll give you one. Was the Thanksgiving Day Parade on NBC.
What? Really?
Yeah. It's a massive, massive audience.
I mean, I saw that the numbers were good this past year. I didn't realize they were that good.
They are that good. They were, that was like 26 million, something like that. It was mid-20s. And so that was, an audience of watching the parade. It's, it's houses tuning in and while they're cooking or something. But that's one. And then the others, it's a big event coming up soon in our business.
The Oscars.
There you go. A strike year and things along those lines. Some other things, caveats to it for 2023, but still, there you have it. What America watches. But overall, here, Richard, you gave the RC Cola Award here. You're a little less impressed with the show, Richard. What was your take here?
Well, the egg on my face for the ratings. Certainly, I will accept that. Less egg on my face for predicting the show would be horrible, which it delivered on. It was a bland, sort of lifeless. Golden Globes was the only show that was actually fun to go to because it was casual, relaxed. People were mixing it up. People went up and made fun of the group that was throwing it, and they didn't mind that. People were drunk. The dessert buffet room was open the whole time. It was usually very impressive. They missed their name being called. And it felt like all that on the show. But you watch it, it felt like this sort of goofy, ramshackle, not taking itself too seriously, little corner of... And of the whole 6 months award season slog, this was the only corner that you could say did not take itself too seriously. I don't think there is another contestant for that designation there. So the Penske Media bought it, and their immediate directive seemed to be, let's do this like a very serious, very formal award. Let's just do another one of those. And that's what they did.
Yeah, and you made the point, they own the show. And, the whole thing is the whole HFPA is out. The membership's been reconfigured. They could have done what they wanted, Richard, I think, was your point. And they did this. It's like you had carte blanche. You could have moved it. You could have not had a room that everybody couldn't get into, whatever it might be. And
could have done it on the Love Boat or
could have been whatever. Yeah.
Is that your first idea as an alternative, Richard?
Love Boat. Exactly. I'd watch that show, Elaine. That's pretty fun. But yeah, exactly. And it became a bit much. Elaine, anything? Did you watch the show? Why did we even talk about this?
But, I did. Okay. I watched the entire telecast because I was curious. It felt like a much more sober, very serious affair. In the way that after somebody screws up and then needs to sort of rehab themselves, guys decides to go on the straight and narrow for a bit and just be like, listen, I just got to show up to work and look presentable and not look at me.
Don't
screw this up.
But it's so missing the point of why this show was at all interesting. It's not interesting to hear what 100 foreign journalists think should be the best picture. Who cares about that? But it's like buying the Three Stooges and say, okay, guys, enough with this poking each other in the eyes. We're going to do Ordinary People. Let's remake Ordinary People. Now, just the three of you. So missing the point entirely.
All right. Well, we shall see what happens next year. CBS does have the exclusive first negotiating window if they want to pick it up next year. We'll see. They just said this one-year deal this year. So still the question continues where it will land in 2025. So we'll see about that. But we do have another show. The Emmys, of course, are coming up on Monday on Fox. Are there pre-Emmy parties out there, guys? I don't even know what happens with this. That's how much I'm out of the loop here. Richard, are you going to anything this weekend?
It seemed very quiet. If there are pre-Emmy parties, my invitation, I think, has been lost in the mail.
All right, fair enough. But the Emmys will not have the NFL as a lead-in by any stretch. I guess it'll be something like an extra TMZ or something like that. They go up against the NFL playoff game on ABC and ESPN, which will probably get about 25 to 30 million viewers at least.
And because of the weirdness of the Emmys calendar to start with, and then on top of that being delayed for months here, They will be saluting shows, some of which aired 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So this show is the last Emmys was September 2022. So keep that in mind as well. It's also going to apparently feature reunions of casts from long ago Fox hits Martin and Ally McBeal. Elaine, if your kids stopped talking to you about that today so far.
Oh, that'll get the teens running to the TV.
Do you even know? Do you know what Martin is?
Of course I watched Martin.
I don't know. But, you know, that was before. It was literally, I think, that was when I was in high school that was on. So, yeah, that's a while ago. All right. Okay. Sorry. Well, then you'll be tuning in for the reunion of the Martin cast. Richard, were you an Ally McBealer or was that part of your pantheon?
It's a little late in the day for me, Ally McBeal.
Late in the day. You just had a Hello Larry reference. I don't know that late in the day it falls into
That's
this.
That's still one of those newfangled, these kids trying to mix things up and we're up there wearing crazy shirts and everything. And that's not what TV should be.
I see. All right. So you're out on that one. All right. Anyway, I think there'll be some more to be announced. Those are the first two that were announced today, recording here on Thursday. I think it'll be followed in the show by a game featuring people who are on network TV right now called Do You Know Who These People Are? Would be probably a good pop quiz to play, given the state of network television. Richard, will you be watching as well?
No one has told me that I have to yet, so I don't have any plans.
Unless it's homework.
Exactly. All right, we'll see what your column is on Tuesday about that, so who knows.
If they're doing these reunions, if they get Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker aren't with us anymore, but if they get their families for an F Troop reunion, I guess that would probably get me bored.
All right. Well, you can submit that note to the producers, Richard, but I'm not sure that one's going to pass muster, but who knows? We shall see. Tune in Monday night on Fox for the Emmys to laud the shows of over a year ago. All right, so we had 5.9 million back when the show last aired in September 2022. I think it was ABC. So that was a Monday night as well. So what do you got, Elaine?
5.9 million in September 22. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
That's the last comp you have, yes.
But since it's at a different time of year, and on a Monday. What day was it on last time around?
It was a Monday last time.
It was Monday. Okay. All right. I feel like people might forget, though, because they'll be like, we just had the Golden Globes and suddenly the Emmys are the week after. And it's like, and I get it, the strike delayed the Emmys, but it's like, how many people outside of the industry are be like, oh, yeah, the Emmys in mid-January and then up against a couple of what, playoff games?
One playoff, yes, playoff game.
Okay. Because the football is still happening. Okay.
The football is still happening.
I'm going to say 4.1.
All right. Richard, what do you got?
So I'm going to actually do this scientifically.
All right. Well, I don't even know what that means.
He's got his Excel sheet out.
Yeah, exactly.
So say in the primetime Emmys, how many people do you think are nominated in the primetime Emmys?
Oh, my God. I mean, based on the research I was doing, I don't know how many shows are nominated would be a question. Well, but
let's just say there's 20 categories. There's five nominations on them.
You're going to multiply that by everybody's mom?
Let's just say 300 nominees.
Okay, I'll go
let's
with that.
Say each of them have five family members. Okay. So 1,500 people watch this.
Or multiplying by everybody's mom. Okay.
Like cousin, maybe.
Sort of family, you know. Yeah. Old girlfriends, you know, who know what it might be. Yeah, exactly.
Ex-in-laws.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
So call 2,000. I'll be generous.
Okay, fine. I will go with five. I'll be the optimist this week as I was the pessimist last time on the Globe. So I will go with an even five for Fox on Monday night. So we shall see next week here on the podcast. Anyway, all right, up next, Paramount is wasting no time here in 2024 getting more deal rumors going. WB is wasting no time writing big checks to make sure everybody forgets about 2023. And Amazon becomes the Ivan Drago of tech streamers this week, Elaine. Do you know what that reference is, Elaine?
I'm going to say yes. Is this a Rocky reference?
All right. Yeah, no, you got it. All right, Rocky.
In the right sphere of reference, right? Yeah.
All right. I won't ask you if you've seen other Rocky movies. That'll be your February task. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to all that in a moment and be right back. All right. Well, I guess we should come back to Paramount first here, Richard. One of your other columns this week was looking at the state of affairs for the 2024 for the Gang of Five, as you put it, five of the top studio and streamer leaders in town. But none are likely to have as tumultuous a year as Paramount. Is that fair, Richard, at this point?
Well, Paramount has actually announced, I don't know if they formally announced, but they put it out that they are in discussions about
it's been about reported. Jeff. It's not from Paramount themselves, but yes.
It has been reported. They have not denied it. So, at the end of this process, one presumes there has to be a sale or else there'll be either a sale or implosion.
Right.
So yeah, they've got some changes ahead, depending on who got my standing, which I repeated in my standing prediction. Is Netflix will buy Paramount, Comcast will buy Warner's, and Apple will buy Disney. And I'm standing by that. There's talk this week that Skydance is trying to find money for an all-cash offer to buy National Amusements, which, if that makes sense to anybody, please send us a card. but I think Netflix is the one that they have wanted it. They have talked about it. They've looked at it. They like it a lot. They like the catalog. They could do a lot of things with it in turnkey fashion once they unload lots of stuff. So I still feel like in the end, they somehow end up with it.
Yeah, no, Netflix has not been officially mentioned in the end of these rumors or whatever it might be at this point. That doesn't mean that they're not in play, clearly.
It's been reported in the past, though.
I mean, yeah, broadly speaking, I think everybody has, looked at but not the latest round per se. But again, does not mean we didn't know Discovery and Warner Brothers was happening before that deal happened anyway. So,
but how acquisitive has Netflix really been? I mean, all of their, it's been fairly smaller scale. Like, you know, it's like you look at, what is it, Night Game Studios and you know, some of these smaller animation and video game deals. Like, these haven't been large scale deals that they've been interested in.
Yeah, the Roald Dahl.
True, the library, yeah.
Estate was the biggest one they've done, you know, which is, you know, big. It's not Paramount by any means, but not in this scale.
And certainly doesn't come with the operational difficulties that acquiring a studio would.
Right. And this would, you know, I think, Richard, it would be more the studio, not necessarily Paramount Global, right, Richard? I think is kind of where you're at, yeah, mine
you
as
get,
well.
You get the library, you can start making Godfather spinoffs as shows right away. You get the lot, you get a whole bunch of stuff to throw up in the back catalog. And then you could think about, you know, they have all these TV, what do you want to do with Nickelodeon?
Yeah, well, the kids viewing, sure, and I will, in the big Netflix data dump from the late fall there, Paw Patrol was one of their biggest movies that actually for last year, you know, the first one. So, you know, that's just one item, but certainly the kids and Nickelodeon has that trove of library, as you say, Richard. So, yeah, I'm with you, you know, the Skydance thing, I don't know what the strategy is bigger picture there other than he just seems to want to buy it, but it's a lot of infrastructure there and why Larry Ellison would want to put billions of dollars into Paramount. I have no idea, but that's not for me to to ask for. So we'll see. The New York Post also reported that Shari was signing some NDAs with some PE firms to start looking at the books. So, you know, could be a few things. And as Richard, you point out, there's National Amusements and then there's Paramount Global. And there's, you know, it's going to be much more of if you thought Reverse Morris Trusts were confusing for Warner Brothers and Discovery, I think this deal is going to be a little more convoluted in the end. So we shall see. But over at Amazon, Elaine, you know, they're, you know, kind of my Drago reference being round two of the fight with Rocky where he bleeds. He's, you know, they're cut.
It was a Rocky reference.
Okay, yes, exactly.
See,
was
right. I knew that. I just
famous scene where he has a cut, gets a cut in the second round and he bleeds and he's human. He's human. Where Amazon had joined the layoff parade here this week. So the tech streamers are not, you know, immune to this kind of thing.
Although, like a lot of other companies, I think had been engaged in some rolling cuts and layoffs throughout the last year or so. It feels like a lot of the larger entertainment companies have been deliberately doing quieter, smaller rounds of cuts so as to not attract headlines. But yesterday certainly was a big one with hundreds and at all different divisions too, including, you know, Twitch. It's not a great way to start off the year for morale if you're a studio executive.
Yeah. And exact numbers not out there. Several hundreds is the word to describe it. And again, you know, just looking at the names of it, they were coming out in Deadline yesterday and taking a look. It's a lot of integration. You know, they bought MGM 2.5, you know, 2.5 years ago, and they're still essentially running two studios with the same overhead. You know, it was like they didn't do a lot of integration at any point in this period where the whole thing, when you buy a studio that's basically in the same business you are of making TV shows and movies and you don't have that period, it just seems like this is, for whatever reason, this is when it happened, Elena, and, you know, and it's coming out now. So again, Amazon, as we've talked about here in the pod a bit before, has been looking at cuts across a lot of other divisions, you know, whether from Twitch to the Alexa to things like that. So at some point you had to figure this probably would have happened. But it proves, you know, again, these checkbooks aren't endless and they are looking at the bottom line here.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I wonder, having talked to studio executives for a very similar story almost a year ago, of just like, where are the jobs now? And where are people migrating to? I thought it was interesting that there were so many cuts at Twitch in particular, because one industry where a lot of Hollywood flees to is gaming.
Right.
But if there are cuts in gaming too, like where else is there to go? And I know Twitch is just one company among a myriad of companies. And especially out in LA, you know, you have EA, you have, you know, Activision, you have a lot of other companies out here. But gosh, it feels like a little bleak, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was 35% of their staff at Twitch. That wasn't just a minor cut. You know, and the timing of this here at Amazon with these several hundred layoffs, and they're going ad tier in 2 weeks. It's like, all right, they're looking at the money. You know, this is, you know, as much as they're still writing $60, $80 million, you know, above the line deals for some movies, clearly this era of just blank checkbook, at least at Amazon, is you know, certainly coming back down to earth. You know, they're in the streaming business. As much as, you know, the endless checkbook thing is out there.
Notoriously high margin business, John.
It's just, you know, it's not any better because Amazon is in it, you know, than it is for the studio streamers, in a sense. You know, they don't have the baggage of the, you know, the cable networks and things like that. But the business itself is not any better over there than it is per se for anybody else. You know, when Apple also raised prices from $7 to $10 in the fall, it's like, yeah, all right, you don't do that.
Yeah. Even if Wall Street isn't taking a very close look at, say, the studio business of an Amazon or an Apple, because those numbers are so opaque when you're part of this enormous tech company.
Yeah,
there's still internal scrutiny about it, for sure.
You know, I mean, we've talked about the story, you were talking about this, but the formula now for the streamers: higher prices, higher cost, less programs, and ads.
Right.
Like, very appealing.
Yep. You're welcome, America.
Who wouldn't want it?
Sign here. Here we go. Exactly. Yeah. And I will note, I think the ad tiers of Max and Paramount Plus are now being carried on Amazon channels and YouTube channels as of this month as well. So again, yeah, you're right, Richard. This, you know, this ad tier growth is certainly out there as the cure, which is not, you know, look, this is what the business was. You watched ads on TV, and if you wanted to pay more for HBO, you paid $15, which was a lot back in, you know, 2006. And it's like, yep, if you don't want the ads anymore, you can still pay, you know, $20 a month. They're happy to take the money, Richard. But if you don't, you're going to be watching ads and probably more of them over time, Richard, you know?
I wrote about this. It seems like it's this assumption, like what are the people going to do? They're going to go to Netflix? They're going to go to, they need to get they're streaming somewhere, but there's a lot of alternatives that aren't a streaming service that people can just say, oh, I guess I don't need any of this. I got Pluto. I've got pirate sites. I've got video games. I can watch sports. I can watch YouTube all day. Like, there's tons of entertainment to be found outside, totally outside of all the streaming services.
Yep. The options are all still out there. So more to come there. Definitely be a big thing we'll be talking a lot about this year. But Richard, we'll end up this segment here with over at Warner Brothers, who is certainly signaling to the town, I think, that we are, you know, talent come back. We have Tom Cruise setting up an office on the lot. You've got Leonardo DiCaprio doing a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. And reportedly, Variety had the budget close to $100 million, supposedly.
Which is what's the highest gross of Paul Thomas Anderson films?
Right. Yeah. And probably There Will Be Blood is my guess on it, but it's nowhere near $200 million, probably. I think the comp is probably more Quentin Tarantino and Leo for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my guess, but you know.
But still, that said, but very mind, you know, God bless him, Paul Thomas Anderson, one of our greatest filmmakers. Anyone who wants to spend anything making movie, I've heard the script is amazing.
Yeah, I wish them well, you know, but certainly WB is ponying up there. They also, right before 2023 ended, they got the big Ryan Reynolds, Channing Tatum action comedy project, which was not cheap either. That was in a bidding war, so you know, they're getting the big names in the door, Richard, after 2023, where a lot of trust, eroded, or, you know, however you want to put that, through these, you know, cancellations and Coyote versus Acme things and things like that, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, having Cruise on the lot, the deal is very ambiguous. It doesn't commit him to doing any specific projects, but
there's nothing mentioned,
But he's there, sends a message of old-time star power.
Yep, definitely. And Warner Brothers, a studio that was known for that for many, many decades, and that reputation definitely took a bit of a dip through Project Popcorn and through the past couple of years here. So we shall see. what comes in 2024. All right, up next, we're going to take a look ahead to some looming questions in 2024, including where things stand with IATSE. Elaine, I have questions for you there, but hopefully there's some reason for some optimism, but we'll get back in just a moment. All right. So, Richard, I want to finish up here today, spending some time with your piece or one of your pieces this week, looking at the nine questions ahead for 2024, which spurred some big picture overview in my head as to where we're at here in January. So if you'll indulge my brain a bit for a moment, 2022 was the last year of the bubble, 600 shows, the Netflix stock crash, out of control inflation in the economy. WB and Discovery deal on the heels of Amazon and MGM. This kind of the flare out of the streaming era bubble. 2023 was the year of pain, strikes, massive layoffs, cutbacks, classic kind of bubble burst collateral damage that was about as fun to live through as it was to write about. But some of that still spilling over here into early 2024. And it was the peak year of streaming losses, no matter what. I mean, no matter how you cut it through all these moves of these cutbacks and less spending, the streaming losses will have peaked in 2023, no matter what happens this year in the end. But I think, that leaves a door to this year to being a year of opportunity. Just looking at some larger things in the universe, Richard, inflation's coming into line, not quite as quickly as Wall Street would like, or as they're betting on, I should say, but the economy is returning to some sense. And TV, a lot of staples are ending their runs, Richard. Blue Bloods is ending, Young Sheldon will be over, and The Good Doctor's wrapping up. I think The Conners is maybe finishing up. Bob Hart's Abishola is finishing. So a lot of things have been on the air for Blue Bloods, I don't even know how long it's been on the air for, but an end of some major TV shows that will not be on in fall of 2024. So, outside of the FBIs and Chicago fires of the world, that's a lot of real estate for something else to come in, whatever that might be. Netflix, Bloomberg reported they had a 17% drop in volume or something like that in the end of 2023. So maybe as the deals were made, shows are going to be more expensive. Maybe, and if Netflix has not reported that they're going to up their spending from $17 billion, so, that translates in two ways. If your shows are more expensive, you're going to make a few less of them. So maybe there would be some less, volume in Netflix. They've already indicated on films that will be, coming down. We haven't seen their 2024 slate yet. So that's kind of coming in there. Even in football, Richard, you have Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, all signed off, all retirees, leaving their teams this week. The NFL will be in a new era come the fall of 2024. The superhero genre, while not disappearing, will be in a different place after the year, or better be a fool's errand to keep going the way it's been going. But whatever that chapter of entertainment will be entering a new form later this year, or I guess 2025, probably. Obviously Paramount's in play, as we talked about, but Richard, all this kind of adds up to me. It's like, all right, that's a lot of opportunity out there for new voices, new phenomenon to take hold. We've seen trickles of it with, Taylor Swift or Five Nights at Freddy's or, things kind of like the youth, Mean Girls is coming out this weekend, kind of, youth cultural events really drove a lot of big things in 2023 that, it's a new time for a new generation of things. So that gives me optimism, Richard, looking ahead to 2024. I just want to put that all together in a package for you, but that's kind of where my head's at.
Well, it's from our own narcissistic standpoint, you see like all these things that have been the basis of the business in Hollywood either coming to an end or crashing down or having
right.
big problems. So you say, oh, well, these things that we know are over, so I guess that's it for entertainment.
Right. It's not the way it works. Yeah.
There won't be any more entertainment, but
yeah, we're done. Yeah.
Entertainment persists, and maybe what it persists with will be better than the sclerotic ways of doing things in the past and genres that are not speaking to the culture today. One thing I pointed out, probably in this era, the most pernicious innovation was that we lost the definition of what a hit is. Mm. And what is it? Ankler rule number one, Hollywood is a business built on hits. Yep. And somehow in the last 10 years, we don't know what a hit is. It is a business built on hits.
We try to get rid of it, I think. Yeah, right. Yeah, insulate ourselves. Yeah.
Is it engagement? Do we even know how many people watched it? We were completely lost. People were making things and not caring if they got viewers, not caring if they were watched. It was just the worst trend for Hollywood to just have no parameters of what success means. Yep. And one thing this year with the advent of advertising is also going to be the arrival of numbers and metrics. And right. out of that will probably emerge some sort of like what is the big number, the old overnight rating? What is the new equivalent of that for the streaming world? And then, you know, whatever that is, whether it's like engagement or like how many times do characters scratch their head in an hour, we will have something that everyone will be able to work towards and judge their success around. And that will be a very positive thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, not to be working, not working in a void per se, but yeah, you've written about it, you know, many times. And doing something without an audience is not, you know, this industry has been built on on having audience feedback. And when only a certain very small amount of people know what that feedback is, it's not very healthy for everybody to be working in the future here. So, but speaking of which, Elaine, people working in 2024, IATSE is, you wrote about this, Richard, as well, Richard, in your column, but is on the list here. For, I guess, the deal's up in the June, I want to say,
July 31st.
Oh, okay.
So, we have these Hollywood locals of IATSE. IATSE together is 150,000 members, but it's about, I want to say about maybe 13 or so of the Hollywood locals. I mean, these are motion picture editors, costumers, cinematographers. They all have a contract expiring at the end of July. And so they are gearing up for negotiations, which begin in March. And the industry has just come out of 6 months of a brutal strike that was rough on everybody between the writers and the actors strike. And, you know, there's a lot on the line here and making sure that a deal actually goes through so that there isn't another work stoppage by the end of July. And I've certainly talked to a lot of IATSE members who have said, "Hey, listen, we almost came to a strike. You know, back in the fall of 21, they had authorized a strike vote. I think it was like 97, 98%. It was a very strong vote. There were some members who were wondering why they didn't actually push through and go on strike. But I think they've got a lot of momentum coming out of 6 months, as well as a lot of hardship, right? Like, it's kind of difficult to do this.
They weren't working either, you know, during when they were.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah. So like when you're looking at the risk calculus, when you're looking at like the leverage calculus here, it's like, yes, the industry is already hurting and is still hurting on the back of a pandemic, on the back of a 6 month series of strikes. And a lot of these crew members haven't been working for a long time as well. At the same time, can the studios really afford to have another strike to endure what they endured last year when you already see your audience fragmented and quickly seeping away to all other forms of entertainment? So it's sort of hard to say who has the upper hand going into this, but it'll be interesting to see what exactly is on their pattern of demands when negotiations start in March. But I think it's fair to say, you know, salary increases, pay equity, you know, sort of all of the usual things. And I'm sure concern over AI too, which is, you know, tricky in when you're talking about editors and cinematographers and sort of the very more technical crafts.
But there was no big, you know, writer's room minimum or bigger issues which SAG had with, you know, they're not asking for the ratings from the streamers or things like that. So, you know, Richard, I think you wrote a little bit about this as well. You know, it's a little more maybe of a money conversation, which hopefully two sides can come to and find an agreement on.
Yeah, I mean, you would think the studios just having 2 months ago seen what happened, what the result is of their stand tough and bleed them dry strategy, wouldn't want to do that twice in 2 years with a second double strike. And one would presume that when they did deals with the writers and the actors, they knew this was coming, and part of their calculation was that there would have to be similar bumps for IA and for the Teamsters, one presumes, but Hollywood always has room to surprise you.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we'll see if the Gang of Four, whatever it was, comes to the table early or not, Richard, and, you know, things like that. But going back to Wall Street in Q3 with the hat in hand saying, yeah, we're on strike again. It's like, I don't know what the patience is going to be there, wherever the business is even at that point. You know, the free cash flow gains, all that stuff repeating is not going to be repeated. You know, all those things of why they probably froze it out or not applying here. So I think the motivation may be a little more urgent, Elaine, I guess, maybe, hopefully. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. It's like, listen, the crew members, the behind the scenes folks aren't as high profile as the writers and the actors, but it does feel doubly dire for the industry this year. Can you imagine if this industry went through another months long strike, what that would do to the people working in the industry and the people at the top of the studios making this? It would not be good for anyone.
The third shutdown in 4 years.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Elaine, Mean Girls, are you in? What do we got here? We have the box office this weekend.
Yeah, obviously. I would love to. I'd love freaking love Mean Girls. Like every other millennial woman, I quoted once a week.
This is your big genre. This is your moment, Elaine.
This is extremely my stuff here.
this is your Hello Larry. This is great. So
is now not a good time to say that I don't know what that show is?
No, you're fine with that. There's no reason. If you knew that, I don't even know.
If I sing the theme song, it'll come back to you, I'm sure.
No, it won't.
Oh,
it will not
it.
At
yes,
all.
Please. Oh.
Hello, Larry. You talk to people all day for a living, but do you hear the advice you're giving? Do you really live your life that way? Portland's such a long way from L.A.
Elaine, is it all coming back to you now?
So now you remember. You can join in.
Now I remember.
Elaine's eyes are lighting
you
up.
Take it.
It's just, you know, yeah. It's just
I think we should insist on one live performance from Richard every week from now on.
I'll leave that. You can plan that one.
In a future episode, remind me to tell you the story of when I sang it for Kim Richards, now of the Housewives, who was the young ingenue on that show back when. So.
Well, next week on the Ankler podcast, there's your lead.
Emotional moment for us both.
I sure was. We'll relive that one next week. Mean Girls is tracking very well for around 30 million this weekend. So hopefully that brings the kids out again and makes another revenge for, you know, again, the younger generations to embrace there. Also should note, Entertainment Strategy Guy has a new piece looking at if the musical genre is indeed having a moment from a number of perspectives, of course, that he always gets very thorough on. So you can check that out over at theankler.com. Elaine, in my world, of course, it's NFL wildcard playoff weekend. So again, I'm assuming, Richard, what should I bring to your party on Sunday? Do any requests or...
I'm so glued to the game, I don't even pay attention.
Not even look at my, I can bring my dessert bar option. I'll be not even gonna look at it. All right, food. Okay.
It's great. It's great to have the Dodgers back and on the field again. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, not too big in LA, but we'll see. We have Taylor. The Chiefs are playing Saturday night on Peacock. Peacock exclusive. The first NFL playoff game on streaming only is on Saturday night, so that's a very big deal.
Do they let Taylor play now? Or just her?
I'm just waiting for her to show up on the sidelines, but they keep her up there in the owner's box, so I don't know.
They should let her play.
If they win the Super Bowl, she may need to come down on the field. I don't know. That could be a whole other can of worms, so we'll see about that. But the Chiefs need to win first this weekend before that even remotely happens, so we shall see how that all transpires. I'll, of course, have the full box office breakdown in the Wake Up on Monday morning, which you can get, of course, as part of your Ankler subscription at theankler.com. And you can follow The Ankler on the socials at The Ankler. And if you listen to the pod on Apple or Spotify, leave a little rating or comment if you like. Or you can always drop me a note on LinkedIn with any feedback, any Richard Rushfield song requests, whatever you like. The link to my LinkedIn is at the top of my Wake Up newsletter every edition. So you can check that out there.
Do Bosom Buddies next week.
We got to get a list going now.
That's a little late to the... but I'm here. I will take requests. Yeah, I'll work on Bosom Buddies.
All right, there we go.
Although that's just a Billy Joel song. That's not a real theme song.
Then you have to recreate the whole opening scene, you know?
All right, we'll continue this conversation on the side. It'll be fine. Let's let our listeners go for this week. There, you can start a Google Sheet, and we'll get all together there. All right. Anyway, thank you all for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.